There we go. So let's get started. Data, tools, and technology are nothing without people, right? We all know that. We've seen the surveys. We've lived the life. In a recent survey by Evanta, their annual CEO survey, chief data officers named establishing a data-driven culture as one of their top priorities for 2020. We're talking about it, we're all being data-driven, we all know the word insights and analytics, but what does that mean to establish a data-driven culture? And we'll get into that in just a minute. There are, I think, four other items that came into this Evanta survey. Does anybody have an idea of something else that might be up there? So other things that are top of mind for chief data officers.
Security?
Transparency.
Tell them what he's wanting this year. Who was that? Who said security? There we go. As long as that. What else do we have up there?
Transparency.
Transparency's good.
Policy, procedure, process,
incentives.
Anything else?
Those are all good. Do you want to start putting them up?
Yeah, let's just put them up.
Okay.
All right, so the first answer got some swag. customer insights, privacy, and data ethics all kind of together. That is, to some degree, transparency, making sure that we're doing the responsible thing with the data that we can collect and making sure that we're protecting the people that we are serving from an organization's perspective. Improving governance, that's an exciting topic, right? Nobody wants to talk about it, but everybody wants to know that the data in their organization, in their data stack, is reliable, it's published, it's serving multiple people, so you're all kind of reading from the same source of truth. Communications about the value of data. So again, we're all data professionals, IT professionals. We know it's important. We know the kind of insights it can drive. I don't know that we're all that good at putting it out there, making sure that the business executives and the folks that are doing the operations really know what data is available and what it can do for them. And then finally, deploying self-service analytics. So getting the tools in the hands of the people that need to know the information and that can act on the insights that come out of that. There's a lot of words on this slide, so I won't belabor it and read it for you, but the workplace is changing and our cultures are changing. It's really a fundamental shift in the mindset and the mindfulness of where you are and where your staff is in their data analytics journey. We know that folks that are entering the workforce now tend to be a lot more transparent, tend to want a lot more attention, tend to want to know that the organization that they're working for, that they're dedicating their waking hours to, is doing some good in the world. And because of that, there are different ways of motivating these folks than maybe things we've had in the past. You know, in the past it was quarterly reviews, relatively rigid, here's your rating scale, did you get a 1, did you get a 5, or are you someplace in between? And now it's not necessarily that discrete. It's a fluid spectrum as far as how people are doing, what they want to be rated on, and what's going to motivate them. And so I'll turn it over to Nish to talk about Slalom's perspective on the modern culture of data.
Okay. So the modern culture of data is really a new capability that we're offering with Slalom, and it's really just repackaging what many of us have known for decades now in terms of the people, processes, tools, and technology. But now there's this whole new shift, right? We're hearing a lot, and many of you might be starting to think about machine learning and AI and how do we get our organizations into a more data-driven mindset. So this is really that shift. I have a website up there, and you'll receive this deck after, and you can access that to see more about the framework, and I'll be really focusing today more about ways of working, which is one piece of 5 elements of this framework. So it's really shifting from a more siloed kind of organization. We all know where people start to kind of go and they do the shadow IT, and they sort of want to just, no one's helping me, let me just go help myself, right? So we want to move away from that into a more collaborative environment. Instead of just being intuitive, like, oh yes, I've been doing this kind of work for so long, I just know that this is how we need to approach it, or I have a gut feeling about this. Let's take a real data-driven approach. And that means really getting the information in front of people, and that's where the access and transparency becomes really important, and making sure it's metrics that people really understand, they know how to interpret, and it helps them make actionable decisions, right? And then also going from risk averse to experimental. Depending on the culture of your organization, there might be folks who have more of a, come from a place of fear. If I shake the boat, or if I ruffle feathers, then I don't want attention on me, right? So actually starting to recognize and incentivize experimental behavior is where we're going into now. So how do we take people and say, let's do proof of concepts, let's do these prototypes, let's start to really look and push the envelope more toward what's possible. So really going into that innovative kind of approach. Thank you. Is there something missing?
Mm-hmm. There's animation.
Oh, okay, good. There you go.
Okay. So the
framework's not up here, but basically we have a framework, and at the center of it is bold vision. So it's really charting a really clear path for your organization, and then going into topics of access and transparency, guardianship, data literacy, and then tying it all together is ways of working. So in this session, we're focusing just on the ways of working part, because that really does tie in all of these areas. So operating model and org structure. So the question that we get into here is, how do I structure my organization's operating model to facilitate a modern culture of data? So traditionally, and a lot of the organizations, you're used to more of a traditional IT kind of operating model structure. So we've got software developers, we have an infrastructure team, we have help desk, we have the business side, so we have analysts that are working on the business, maybe there's a partnership there. But now things are totally shifting in a new direction with really data-centric organization, right? So data scientists, data engineers, data strategists, data analysts, like what are all of these different roles and how do they make sense? So I'll dive deeper into that, but that's where we talk about org structure and operating model and why that's so important. Then on the talent side, so Nona will go more into employee motivators, but the big questions here really are about, like, what kind of skills should I hire? How do I train up? You all have a lot of very bright, motivated people in your organizations, and maybe they don't have these skills. So maybe there's a data analyst, and how do you get that data analyst to a place where they can now become a data scientist? That is very well possible. That's actually a path for folks. So it's really also helping people in their career paths and figuring out how to move forward. Incentivizing. So really having leaders and champions that can model and advocate the important behaviors, and we'll talk about incentives more. What behaviors need to change and what incentives will facilitate a shift in those behaviors. So really serving as a role model. And there's a lot of incentives and ideas you could do with your staff to get them motivated. And depending on who they are, they'll be motivated in different ways. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Okay, so these are some of the common knowledge worker personas. We can also call these roles in an organization. And we thought, instead of me sitting here in front of you or standing here in front of you and reading out all of the different descriptions of these, I thought we'd play a little game. So can I have three volunteers?
All right, we've got one there, one here, and one over there.
Hello, my friend Timothy in the front here.
And you want to come on up?
Get a piece of paper.
Let's hear from the swag.
We got good swag. We got sanitizer.
Say hello to my little friends.
Yeah. Well, ours looks cooler. See.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool sanitizer.
Okay. Cool. So, well, I was gonna have them write it down. Maybe I'll just have them say it out.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to put you on the spot a little here. I was gonna have you write it down, but it's all right. Okay, so what I am going to do is I'm going to read out a description for the for a role. And then if you got, yeah, you guys might want to stand like maybe off to the side there a little bit. But yeah, you can see. And then I'd like to just ask whoever just to call out what you think it is, okay? All right. A person who's responsible for running an organization, although exact, huh? Oh, sorry. A person who is responsible for running an organization, although the exact nature of the role varies depending on the organization. Responsibilities include identifying problems, creating solutions, offering new perspectives, and creating plans to help their organization grow.
Business executive.
Bingo! All right. We'll see who gets the most points. The point, she gets 1 point. All right. Yeah, I tried to make a couple of these tricky, but we'll see. A go-to expert in the realm of data, assuring quality and trust in the data, creating standard definitions for the organization to follow, and maintaining consistent use of data resources across the org. This person's an advocate who educates employees and keeps a pulse on new best practices and technology. This person knows how the data is collected, maintained, and interpreted in and out.
That's a CDO, Chief Data Officer.